You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Fitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Steve Gilbert, the longtime beat writer for the Arizona Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And what else are we going to talk about besides the GM search, which is actually getting very interesting. So Tony La Russa, the whatever his title is, chief presidential officer of the Diamondbacks, has been tasked.
Chief baseball officer.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. He's been tasked with finding a new general manager, and he started with 10 candidates. It seems to be maybe whittling down a little bit, and I'm still very intrigued by this Dave Stewart factor here. So let's talk to Steve for a second. And, Steve, what can you tell us? What's the latest on this GM search, and are there any front runners that have emerged?
Well, I think, you know, still Dave Stewart is kind of considered a front runner just because of his relationship with Tony and the way Tony feels about him. And Tony really likes the experience that Dave's had, both as, you know, obviously a player, but also as a pitching coach and then as an assistant general manager and now as a player agent. So he's kind of a unique background, and Tony seems to be impressed with that. Plus, there's LaRocque with the Cardinals, who Tony's worked with in the past, the guy he's comfortable with, and who has a pretty good resume. So those two have always kind of been the seemingly front runners, if there is such a thing. And Tony's supposedly supposed to cut that list down to two or three candidates that he's going to bring in front of Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick for them to talk to as well. So probably middle of this week, I've heard, is the target date for him to have that done as far as finalists. And then next week he could have hire a general manager.
Wow. I mean, does it seem to be moving quickly? I mean, you've been following it on a daily basis. They wanted to get it done before the end of the season. Is there a particular reason why? Do you feel like it's being rushed at all, or is it just kind of the process?
I think he's going through his process. I think, you know, he has a good idea in mind what he was looking for from a general manager, and I think he's been pretty quickly going through the list of names that he had. The reason they want to have it done before the end of the season is they'd like to have a decision made on Kirk Gibson by the time the season ends. And even though Tony has said he's going to have the final say on who and whether or not the manager stays or goes, he would like the general manager to have significant input. So they want to have that person in place by the end of the year to be able to have some input and discussion as far as that goes. And also they want to hit the ground running as far as the acquiring free agents and doing whatever that they're going to be doing during the offseason and kind of have a direction set and have a person in place so they can get a jump on things in October.
Oh, that makes sense then. So I guess we'll just have to keep our – I mean, it's just amazing because it's at the end of the season. It's not so far away anymore. We've been talking about, you know, it sort of becomes this thing that never seems to get here, and all of a sudden everyone's down to like a dozen more games. So I guess things could get pretty interesting around there for all of you guys.
Not that any of us have been counting here on counting down days or anything like that.
Oh, I know. Covering a playoff contender is really fun, but when you're not covering a playoff contender, it's just like that October 1st is just like a glorious day when you can just kind of go to sleep.
Yes, and Allison, you can appreciate this too. When you go to Australia to start a season, you start a season early, then the Diamondbacks report on February 5th this year as opposed to the usual, you know, middle of the month. So it's been a long season for the Diamondbacks and anyone who has followed them, that's for sure.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that your offseason ended abruptly a lot earlier than usual. So somebody who is going to be spending this offseason recovering from surgery would be Brad Ziegler. So he was supposed to have some kind of routine surgery, I mean, if you can call it that, on his knee, and then it became more serious than expected. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Well, he'd been experiencing some discomfort in his left knee. He felt it earlier in June during June 27th, pregame, doing a conditioning drill. He kind of felt a little something in that knee. And he kept pitching on it right up until, a couple weeks ago. And whether or not he did some more damage to it by pitching on it, I guess we'll never really fully know. But he wanted to try to tough it out. And it's kind of amazing that he was able to do that against his land leg as a pitcher, that's the leg he lands on. But they went in hopeful that maybe it was just needing some minor arthroscopic type cleanup work in there, and ended up having to do microfracture surgery, which was a little more serious, not, you know, anything career-threatening or anything of that nature, but the recovery time is going to be a little bit longer. He's hoping that he can be ready to go when spring training opens next year. But the recovery process, obviously, for microfracture surgery is more significant than it would be had it just been like arthroscopic cleanup.
Vidal Nuño, I'm kind of like kind of becoming obsessed with this situation here. Still looking for that first National League win. I mean, this is becoming like ridiculous. He's 0-6 in 12 starts, and he lost his last start. I mean, he didn't pitch that well, so this is kind of, you know, 6 runs in 5 innings. So it's not like it's just hard luck all the time. But this is getting a little ridiculous. I mean, is it important for him to at least get that win and before the season is over, and just kind of know that he was able to do that before his off season starts? Or do you think it's going to affect him one way or another?
I don't know if it will affect him one way or the other, but it's, you know, one of those things where I know that wins don't mean what we used to think that they meant. You know, with advanced metrics now and the way we look at the game of baseball, wins are not as important anymore. However, it's still right there on your stat line. It's the first part of your stat line that people see. And so to be sitting there with a big donut hole in the win column, I think is not something that anybody would want, especially since, as you pointed out, there other aside from his last outing and maybe one or two others, he's pitched really, really well and really deserved to have a few victories, if not at least one. So, yeah, I think it's something that they would like to see him get a win, just to kind of so the storyline goes away, because it seems like it's a regular thing now. Every time he pitches, they talk about, oh, you know, he hasn't won a game since coming over the Diamondbacks, and you know, you just don't like those kind of things to kind of fester and to have a little bit of the momentum of their own.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because some of my Sabre nerd friends in Houston, we've had these discussions, and wins do not mean the same. Pitcher wins do not mean the same as they used to, and that's for sure with advanced metrics and all the different ways that we can dissect a guy's performance. But wouldn't you agree that it means something still to the pitcher? I'm not talking about, like, to the extreme of Nuño, who's just got a big goose egg there in the win column. But wouldn't you say that for pitchers still, the modern-day pitcher, a win does mean a little bit more than the Sabre guys would perhaps want it to?
I think so, just because it's just like we've grown up with certain stats like average home runs, RBIs. Now, maybe it'll be different for the next generation of pitchers who grow up, you know, with all the advanced metric stats, and so they're not as accustomed to it. But I know when you and I were growing up, it was, you know, average homers, RBIs for a guy, and it was wins, losses, ERA for a pitcher, and now we know so much more. But, yeah, so I think for this current generation, sure, they like to see those wins by their names, and I think that it's a pride thing, too. You want to go out there and you want at least to pitch well enough for that win, and it's always nice to rack up as many of those as you can.
Let's look at the rotation a little bit. The D-backs sort of have a six-man rotation going on right now, but some guys are coming up against or have surpassed their career highs for innings pitched, and there's been some call-ups that have been made lately, so we might see maybe Anderson might be surpassed on his or passed up on his next turn. So what would you think is going to happen in the next, you know, week and a half where some of these guys might just be shut down?
Yeah, you know, I think that they're discussing the Chase Anderson situation now, just because he's pitched so many innings and he's surpassed where he was last year. And, you know, on the one hand, they want him to pitch deep into September, so next year he's prepared to do that. On the other hand, they don't want to risk injury with him, and there's really no reason to do that at this point. He's had a really nice year, so it wouldn't surprise me if they shut him down. He's still scheduled to make his next start, but that's tentative. So we'll have to see. But they really want to work Andrew Chafin into the rotation to give him one more start. They just called him up. He's the guy you're referring to that they just called up from AAA. And they were impressed with what he did in his five-inning stint earlier this year in the second game of a doubleheader when he was called up to start that game. And they'd like to reward him with one more start, just kind of see what he can do. So it would make sense because they're almost exactly lined up that Chase Anderson would be skipped at least his next turn and let Andrew Chafin pitch. But we'll have to see how they manage to work Chafin into the rotation.
So I'm watching the footage, some of the highlights from the game last night, and of course I'm seeing this in slow motion. So you made this like amazing catch on a foul ball in the press box. And it looks so effortless in slow motion because you have plenty of time to stand up and get your hands positioned just so. I mean, it looked like this is just second nature to you. So did your heart stop when it was coming right at your face, or what was going on there?
You know, it happened so quick, I didn't really have time to think, and I think that's the key. The more time you have to think, just like an infielder fielding a grounder, you know, when they have extra time, and then they throw it over the first baseman's head as opposed to a bang-bang play when you don't have time to think. So that was probably working in my favor. Ironically, Allison, the last time I caught a ball in the press box was last year, and I had a gentleman sitting next to me that had bid on an auction to follow me around for the evening, and that same charity did that last again this year, and last night was the night that I had the guy sitting next to me. So I think that's, you know, like going to be part of the charity thing. You can follow me around for a night and get a foul ball handed to you in the press box.
You know, if I had a guy that paid money to follow me around, I'd call the cops, but I guess that's a different and so you have bragging rights at the next MLB.com holiday party because, of course, you made the catch and Mark Sheldon just watched his computer go kapooey because he just, I guess, doesn't have the same reflexes as you do.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to give Dan a call and see if I can get a bonus for the laptop that we didn't have to have replaced because I actually made the catch there. I'll have to work on that.
Exactly. You'll be the MVP of the party. Anyway, Steve, thank you so much. It was always highly entertaining, as usual, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.